This program is proudly sponsored by Holistic Therapies by Camille. Fancying a full body massage with cup-in therapy to help you relax and release tension? Go to holistictherapiesbycamille.com to book yourself in.
You're listening to Joining the Dots here on Hospital Radio Glamorgan, the station that's now available on DAB, as well as in the University Hospital of Wales, online, on the Hospital Radio Glamorgan app, and via our Listen Again service, Rewind. So many options for you to listen to us, and we're delighted that you are. Joining the Dots is a new show about connection, conversation, charity and community. I'm Julie Kissick, and every week at this time I bring you information, interviews and plenty of top tunes to keep you company between 5 and 6 o'clock. We're into the first week of March. Yesterday was St David's Day, the day we celebrate our patron saint here in Wales. And according to the meteorologists, the 1st of March is also the first day of spring. Spring has officially sprung, so let's hope the weather gets the memo and we find ourselves with some drier, brighter days very soon. Because the winter has been long, hasn't it? But brighter days are coming, let's be positive.
Broadcasting from the John Wills Studio at the University Hospital of Wales in Cardiff, we are Radio Glamorgan.
Well, March is also a special month because it's Endometriosis Action Month and it's our theme for the hour. That means it's quite a personal programme for me because I was diagnosed with endometriosis in my mid-20s. Statistics show that 1 in 10 women have the condition, and while no two women's experience of it is going to be the same, believe me when I say it can be brutal and it often affects every part of your life, from your health and your mental health to your work, relationships, diet and lifestyle. So what is endometriosis? It's a gynecological condition, and the NHS website defines it like this. It's a condition where cells similar to those in the lining of the womb grow in other parts of the body. Endometriosis is often found in areas around the womb, such as the ovaries, fallopian tubes, and the lining of the pelvis. It also sometimes affects organs, such as the bladder and the bowel. On rare occasions, endometriosis is found in areas outside of the pelvis, such as the chest. Symptoms can happen when patches of endometriosis break down and they bleed, but they can't leave the body. It's not known what causes endometriosis, and there are currently no treatments that can cure it. Endometriosis is different for everyone. Treatment usually helps manage symptoms, but you may have long-lasting symptoms that can affect your daily life, work, and relationships for many years. Well, that's the official definition, but as those of us who are living with it know, the reality is often much more complicated than can be described in a few sentences. In order to raise awareness and to offer their insights into living with endometriosis, our very own Carleen Carlson-Skier and her husband Stuart agreed to talk to me about the impact that it has on them day to day. Carleen is a regular on Hospital Radio Glamorgan. In fact, she's on after me at 6 o'clock on a Monday evening with her brother Daniel hosting Nostalgic Sounds for 2 hours. So do stay tuned and give them a listen. Like many women, Carleen has to try to juggle not letting the illness rule or ruin her life. She has to hold down a job, maintain a marriage and friendships that can often be strained as a result of the unpredictable flare-ups that can cause often debilitating pain. And as you'll hear, she has to try and manage the emotional impact when fertility and family life is affected, and where there doesn't seem to be any end in sight. Carleen and Stuart's story is one many of us will relate to. We'll hear from both of them across the hour, starting now with Carleen.
So I got diagnosed around about the time my late father had his brain tumour diagnosed. But before I got diagnosed, I got accused of having it all in my head. I was going through a lot with my dad, so maybe that was playing a part of it. I also had that I may be pregnant, or I may have sexual transmitted disease. I may have a problem with my kidney. I had an X-ray and they found a blur on the X-ray. They said, I have pleurisy. So it was literally so many different stories. And I kept on going to A&E because I couldn't tolerate the pain. I just couldn't function. Luckily, I was working with Nuffield's Health and they recognised that something was wrong. If I was still in retail or a different working sector, I probably wouldn't have the flexibility to come back and forth and try and find out what was wrong. But yeah, I literally would be passing out. I couldn't tolerate the pain. And because I was working in the X-ray department at Nuffield, I started speaking to consultants there and saying, I'm losing my head. I don't know what's going on. I've been told all these different things that it could be. And I've had imagery as well done, but there's no answers. So luckily, the consultant I was working with, she went, okay, let me have a look. She could see that I was lost in the system somehow. And then she called me to have a MRI. And from that point, I thought, hang on a minute, she's found something. And so when I had the MRI, it was confirmed that I had endometriosis.
And how long ago was that?
That was 2018, I think.
So do you feel that since you've had the diagnosis, you've had not only a better understanding yourself, but have you had treatment that's helped?
I've had two operations, or laparoscopies. One was done by a gynecologist that couldn't do around the bowel. When he went in there, he said it's so intense. And he said it's around the bowel as well. And he said, I can't touch that. He said, I can only do around the pelvis. So what he did was keyhole surgery and burnt away the tissue around there. But he said, for it to be away from the bowel, you need to see someone else or you need to have that expertise involved. So that's why I had a second one afterwards so soon. I think it has helped short term, but long term, I'm stuck. I'm literally stuck. I feel like, yes, I know what it is, but there's no treatment there. There's no cure. So I'm just stuck. I'm trying to manage the pain and manage the symptoms. Because I know it's around the bowel, I have permanent supply of buscopan, or I try and eat certain things, so I know that I'm not going to be really suffering. And I also have it around the bladder, so I have management pills for those as well. And hopefully, just recently had an outpatient appointment. They have spoken about possible surgery again, and they've also said about hysterectomy. I don't want to have a hysterectomy at 40. So then I'm stuck on medication that probably isn't working. So I've just been changed in different pills. But yeah, I'm stuck. I'm stuck in limbo. And yes, I know what it is, but I can't do anything about it. I'm just carrying on. Basically, my options are have this pill that kind of forces menopause, or have a hysterectomy. And it is, that's it. It's like, well, I don't want either of those. So, and I think now they don't really want to have surgery because the implications of surgery, but then they're happy to give me a pill. But then, you know, fertility then is out the window. So they've said to me, well, the medication you're on, you can't have children. So you're just like stuck. I just literally take one day, you know, as it comes. I don't want to miss out on life, but at the same time, you know, I'm exhausted. And my full-time job is very physical. When I come home, I just crash on the sofa. And like on the weekends, I'm just on the sofa and don't do anything, you know. But at the same time, I'm very like the larger the life personality. And I want to go out there. I want to enjoy myself. So I just literally have so many pills. And I'm just topping them up. I don't know. I honestly don't know, because I hate thinking about it and talking about it, because I just the isolation. I cry, and I have a best friend who's got endometriosis, but his story is a lot better than mine, because she's had an operation, and after that operation, she had a second baby. So, you know, she's doing well for herself, but I don't really want to bombard it with my story, because, you know, it's not fair.
We're marking Endometriosis Action Month by sharing Carleen and Stuart's story. They've been married for 4 years, and Carleen was diagnosed with endometriosis 8 years ago. Stuart explained how he tries to support his wife and what he's learnt about the condition since her diagnosis and the practical day-to-day life that can be affected.
As a result of Carleen being quite tired most evenings, I do predominantly all the cooking, and it's forced a change in diet, probably for the better. I'll be honest, we're eating healthier. I would rather be eating a lot more junk food myself. But yeah, eating the healthier food that's beneficial for Carleen has helped me, but it has meant that a complete change in my diet and my lifestyle there. I'm finding that when she's tired, she's not able to help out quite as much around the house as she'd like to. So she gets frustrated. So I'd have to tell her, no, it's not your fault. You know, I appreciate everything that you do. You do as much as you can. And then feel like I have to step up a little bit more and help out with that. Then we'll find that there's certain things that we just can't do. So we might have a day out planned. And if she's not feeling up to it, we'll just have to cancel that day out. It becomes a day in the house, just managing what we can. So you sort of learn to manage your expectations sometimes. You accept that waking up one morning could mean that you are going out for the day, or that partway through that day, or even straight away, everything's turned on its head and you need to change your plans just to accommodate it. And then there's the doctors and the hospital appointments that you then need to plan things around as well, because you know what it's like when you book an appointment, when you get an appointment for something, you make sure you can make that hospital appointment, because you never know where the next one's coming.
And did you know anything about endometriosis before you two got together?
No, I'd never heard of it. It was a bit of deep learning cycle for me. So with my job, I spend a lot of time learning new things. And this was just another new, very large thing that I've had to learn about in the meantime. And there is a lot of information becoming available now. But back when she was first diagnosed, there was so little. And I feel like over the last few years, there's a lot more becoming available online. And you're hearing more talk of it on places like hospital radio and general radio. But it might just be the world that I'm now in, because my wife's now seeing that sort of thing and she's promoting it and she's looking it up on social media, that it's now feeding into mine because of our connection there. But I'm definitely seeing more of it, but it's not something that I'd ever heard of. I think it's only through the recognition that we then start to see potentially more funding put in. So if something gets a louder voice, then people with the ability to increase the funding will then take notice of it. So the more it's spoken about, the better.
I used to love fashion, absolutely love fashion. I did fashion and textiles degree. Now I have to find clothes that are elasticated, or like pajamas. I can't wear what I used to wear because I can't get in it for a start. I bloat and I'm just really uncomfortable, and I just, you know, you just like feeling sorry for yourself. Like I have to wear pajamas like all the time, or my jeans with the buttons and the zips undone because I just can't have them done up.
Every husband dreads the "how does this look" question. Every partner dreads that. How does this look? And you try to be honest without being cruel, saying that looks ridiculous. You need to try and find new and inventive ways of saying maybe we should look at something else. So, because you don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but sometimes when Colleen's shopping for comfort, sometimes comfortable clothes aren't the most stylish. And if she's then trying to pick out an outfit that she can wear in the evening, it does make it very difficult. And I can see the frustration in her face and see how upset that she gets when she's going through a wardrobe and something that fitted last week that she tried on to plan for an evening out suddenly doesn't fit. And nothing's changed in her diet. Nothing's changed in what we've done. Just so happens that today she's having a flare-up. So the whole evening can hang on a knife edge of whether a particular item of clothing fits or not. Or even worse than that, if she's woken up, she's become exhausted through the day, and then you decide, well, let's not go out. We're going to go out for a nice meal, but instead let's have a vegan quiche with a side salad, because that's one of the least offensive things that we can eat for our bodies, and it's not going to cause any further problems.
This program is proudly sponsored by Holistic Therapies by Camille. Fancying a full body massage with cup-in therapy to help you relax and release tension? Go to holistictherapiesbycamille.com to book yourself in.
Our focus on joining the dots this Monday afternoon stroke evening, whichever you prefer, is very much about health. I'm Julie Kissick, and we're talking Endometriosis Action Month here on Joining the Dots by sharing Carleen's story. She and her husband Stuart spoke to me about how they manage the condition, and as we heard earlier, Carleen was candid about her concerns about the implications of the illness on her relationship and on the way her body and ability to function has changed as a result of the treatment that she's on.
I have really bad brain fog. So even though I have dyslexia, I have really bad brain fog. And I think sometimes it impacts my... when I'm doing my presenting on hospital radio, because sometimes there's like delays, and even my mum says it, and I'm like, it's because of this. I'm trying my best. You know, when you're talking to people and they go, spit it out. And I'm like, I can't spit it out because I can't focus right now.
When you're in pain, next time you're in pain, try and focus on something. It's really difficult. It's really difficult to just hold a conversation when you're in pain. So it's quite understandable that you would be struggling. And if you're constantly in pain, which the endometriosis can cause, especially during a flare-up, try next time somebody has a cramp, I think if they're listening to this, try having a cramp in your leg or your arm and then holding a conversation with somebody about a difficult topic. And that might give you an idea of what the brain fog could be like.
And if I'm tired as well, I make no sense. I'm drunk.
When Carleen's tired is just a different creature. She's ready for bed. It is like it's like the drunk friend at the end of the night. You're just guiding them back home, get them back to their front door. And once they're in bed, that's it. You can relax then. You know, put the telly on and watch what you want to. Or go read a book. I think if anyone's listening to this and their partner has it, definitely go out and do some research so that they're not just sat there, because they're not going to explain everything to you because there's too much for them to explain to you.
Like, I have really bad periods when I was a child, really, really bad periods. That I used to be taken out of school because of my fainting, constant fainting, because of the pain so much. And then now, like being 40, because I'm on so many different pills, I don't have the bleeding I used to have. So now I can't, you know, it's just a completely different story. It changes so much. It evolves so much. Then you have all the different treatments as well. And you start to and recognize what a period is or what your body's going through. Or it just changes. I can't explain it because I don't have the periods anymore because of all the pills, but I have everything else that comes with it. But
yeah, you end up booking holidays and booking trips and hoping for the best. You went away recently and it was 4 days in Morocco for her birthday, and out of the 4 days, she was bad for 1.5 of them. Prior to that, for 2 weeks, she could have been fine. And it would have been no problems at all. But it is just, you say, just our luck. While you're away, for one of those days, you become ill. And you do everything you can. But a few years ago, we did Glastonbury Festival. I think a bad flare-up at a festival, when you're staying in a tent, and the only toilets you've got are the long drops or the composting toilets at Glastonbury, that I can imagine would be the worst situation that Carleen could have imagined. But she still went. We got lucky. The weather was fantastic, and there were no bad flare-ups there at all. But if it had gone the other way, if there'd been rain, mud, and a flare-up, that I think would have been potentially a pack down and go home time. But and those are sacrifices that you have to make, and you have to just accept that you're going to go through life potentially making these sacrifices, booking a holiday that you then spend a huge portion of it in a room just because you don't have the energy or because you're not well enough, or booking a UK thing that you then have to go, you know what, partway through. I know we spend a lot of money. I know it's an amazing experience, but we just can't do it.
Should we try and end on a positive? So the positive for me, having spoken to you two, is that you've got each other.
Yeah.
And I absolutely know what you're saying about feeling guilty and being worried about pushing Stuart away, because it won't be you that's pushing him away, but that the endometriosis becomes too difficult to deal with. But he doesn't look as if he's going anywhere very soon.
No, not at all. I think the more recently we're hearing more about it. It's being talked about in the right places, endometriosis. So it's starting to get the support that it needs. And once this builds and more people have conversations about it, there'll be more recognition, so people become more understanding of it. And that's probably, I think, the best outcome, because there is no silver bullet for it. It is a chronic condition, but at least getting more understanding and more support out there is probably the best way that we can go about it at the moment.
There is just recently a lady just won a BAFTA for This Is Endometriosis. She did a short film on it. So I need to see that. I don't know who it's by, but I need to see that. but that was just recent. And I just thought, you know, that's perfect.
And the BAFTA award-winning short film Carleen was referring to there is called This Is Endometriosis. It's told in the first person by Georgie Wildman. It's an intimate, expressive film about how endometriosis robbed her of time. It's available on YouTube, and believe me, it's well worth a watch. So we've talked a lot about endometriosis in this hour. Hopefully you know a lot more about it now. But for those who have it, the sense of isolation it can cause is often as difficult to deal with as the physical symptoms themselves. There's no doubt that there's still a lot of work to do in terms of both education and support, but things are changing. If, like Carleen, you don't want to feel as though you're burdening your friends or your family or making a nuisance of yourself with your GP, I'd recommend the website endometriosis.cymru and the Facebook groups dedicated to endometriosis. There are some exceptional NHS endometriosis nurses in the health boards across Wales too, and we may well get to hear from one of them later this month. This promotional video, which has been made by Endometriosis Cymru, is also worth watching. Here's a taster of it.
No one can actually see endometriosis, or the scar tissue wrapping around your organs, or what it actually does to your body. It's invisible. If you're young or you look well, people don't think that you're actually ill. But I knew something wasn't right. What I know now is that it's incredibly hard to recognise. But back then, when I was trying to work out what was happening to me, it felt like being stuck in a maze. I saw gastroenterologists, gynecologists, but often felt like I was being passed from pillar to post, to the point where I felt like I was just being over the top. At the time, I felt so small, and I didn't feel like ever asking a doctor's advice again. It was just a woman's lot. It feels difficult talking about endometriosis openly because it's a gynecological condition. People don't like to hear words like menstruation or talk about periods or bowel dysfunction. You sort of end up choosing your audience, deciding who you can be open with and who you can't. It's a shame because we should be talking about it. Over the last couple of years, I've seen a real shift in the discussions around endometriosis. There's more conversations, but it's nowhere near where we need to be. My current GP is brilliant, to be honest. That was a real turning point for me. She supplied me with useful information, but more importantly, she believed me. I've now joined a support group. I've educated myself and become empowered to talk about it. I'm more confident in talking to other people and saying quite openly, I have endometriosis. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's not just to do with periods. It's something so much bigger than that. And it's important because it might be your friend, your sister, your colleague, your wife, your aunt, your mum, or your child. We all need to know so that people can get help sooner.
One in 10 women in Wales are living with endometriosis. It can be difficult to diagnose because the symptoms are often confused with other illnesses. We know it's time for things to change. NHS Wales and Welsh Government are working with patients across Wales to improve endometriosis care, starting with the recruitment of endometriosis nurses in every health board.
I hope it's all been educational. I'll put the links to the various resources on the Join in the Dots programme page, which is on the Hospital Radio Glamorgan website. Huge hugs and many thanks to Carleen, and also my thanks to her husband Stuart for their willingness to share their experiences with us. We need to keep talking about it because we don't know what causes it and there isn't a cure for it. So endometriosis is likely to be around for a long time yet. But to Carleen and to all the rest of us who are living with the condition, we're going to let Sia play us out. Here's Unstoppable.